Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 267 of Bat Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick. He's Justin. I didn't think we'd ever come back. No, I'm just kidding. I knew we were, but it was rough.
We had to wait for the dust to settle.
The dust has settled. Congratulations, I can't believe I'm saying this, to the Texas Rangers for winning their first championship.
Jay's won the trade now, right?
No, we'll talk about that when we do our grading and all that shit, I'm sure. But honestly, this is not the same Texas Rangers team I hated 7 years ago or right? 6 years ago or 5 years ago. It's a totally different team, and it's got guys that you can't help but like. So, I'm happy that it wasn't Houston or LA.
True. And also happy that it wasn't
Arizona. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. We love Pena. We love Moreno. We did.
I think they have a fun team. I love Corbin Carroll is going to be awesome to watch for a long time. But
Moreno is probably going to be better. Like I think he'll be set to improve.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, who knows where Pena will show up? He'll be a free agent.
Yeah.
Could be interesting to see where he ends up.
Anyway, that's.
They did not, but we'll talk about that at a future time. And in the future, if you like what we do, you can follow us on X. At BFMD Podcast. Website is bfmdpodcast.com. Thanks for hanging in there. I know we've been gone for a few weeks, but we didn't have much to talk about. And we didn't really want to talk about the playoffs either. It was too much to bear.
Too fresh. Yeah.
I'm a little sensitive boy. I can't help. I can't help myself.
All right, Patrick. You have 30 seconds. What have you been doing the last 3 weeks?
The last 3 weeks? Okay. Got my COVID booster. P.S. Go get your boosters. Got my flu shot. At the same time, that sucked. I've been playing a bucket load of Spider-Man 2.
Nice.
And Cyberpunk 2077. Phantom Liberty dropped. That's it.
That's only 21 seconds. That's you're efficient.
I'm efficient. All right. You got
my
10
last
seconds.
3 weeks. My last 3 weeks. Got a dog. I'll post a picture on the BFMB official Twitter since we can post pictures of both our pets now since we have two official BFMB pets.
That's right. Shout out to Django.
Django.
BFM.
Yeah.
Django. I mean, both are correct.
Technically.
Django or Django. Is the BFMD podcast bat dog, the official one. Merch
he probably
TBD.
Would be a good bat dog, too, because he likes to play fetch. So
that's true. But
yeah. So besides the dog, that's really about it. My life has just been dog. I'm getting my shots on Friday after work. So
That's awesome.
It's hard for me to get sick because I don't really go anywhere, but I'm going to get them anyway. I go to the gym, and that's about it. But, yeah, I'll get my shots for the greater good. The greater good.
The greater good.
And
someday we're going to put out the most throwaway episode ever where all it is us talking about our favorite movies.
It'll just be 3 hours of Hot Fuzz references.
Pretty much.
That's really my dog. Honestly, dog has been my life, but it's awesome. I love him. He's a very good boy. So, yeah.
Shout out to Django.
Let's move into the news here. The Jays had 3 Gold Glove Award winners this year, Patrick Marsh, Matt Chapman, Kevin Kiermaier, and Jose Berríos all won Gold Gloves.
Can I give my instant reaction to this?
Correct. Go ahead.
All right. Absolutely not surprised that Kevin Kiermaier won the Gold Glove. Same with Jose Berríos. They had tremendous seasons when it came to their defensive value. Very happy for them.
Yep.
Very surprised that Chapman won the Gold Glove because if you compare this to his previous Gold Gloves, it doesn't quite match up.
True. Everyone's favorite hound, besides Django, Chris Bassett, had a great take on Twitter. My man was out here spitting. He posted a screenshot of the Fielding Bible's Defensive Run Saved DRS leaderboard. And he says, the fact that you can lead in defensive runs saved and not win a Gold Glove is pure stupidity. Only baseball can pull off. The man at the top of that list, Patrick Marsh, Dalton Varsho, 29 defensive runs saved. Surprisingly, Fernando Tatis Jr., who moved from shortstop to the outfield, is at a 27. He's a very good fielder. Other notable Blue Jays on the list. I'm not sure if he did or not. I didn't look at the National League.
I'll go look it up.
Kevin Kiermaier was seventh in baseball at 18 runs, and Alejandro Kirk was in the top 10 at 17 defensive runs saved, and he also did not win a Gold Glove this year. Gabe Moreno, by the way, fifth on the list at 20 defensive runs saved. So,
I'm just rolling through.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the National League because I don't really care about them. They don't exist to me unless the Jays are playing them.
Yeah, I'm just rolling through. You know what? Shout out to Anthony Volpe, or Volpe. I don't know how to pronounce it. He's a rookie, and he won the Gold Glove.
Right.
For the Yankees, so first one ever.
Gabe Moreno did win. Tatis did win. Other notables, Zach Wheeler won the pitching award in the National League. Christian Walker, Arizona Diamondbacks first baseman, won there. Ke'Bryan Hayes won at third base for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes, he did.
And Dansby Swanson won for the Chicago Cubs in his first year there. They added the utility winner a few years ago. They often give it out every once in a while, but the last 2 years they've added it, and this year it was Ha-Sung Kim from the Padres who won that one for the National League. Yeah, the American League rest of the winners included Jonah Heim, catcher for Texas, who probably shouldn't have won it, but Alejandro Kirk should have. Heim actually missed a lot of time with injury. Also, another Texas Ranger winner was at first base. They had Nathaniel Lau. Cleveland's Andreas Jimenez won for the second year in a row at second base. Chappie won at third, like you mentioned. Volpe was a shortstop. Adolis Garcia won another one. So the Rangers and the Jays both had three winners. Stephen Kwan won one of the outfielders, along with Kevin Kiermaier. And Mauricio Dubon from the Astros was the utility winner. So, yeah, there's pretty good defenders on this list. If you had all nine of these guys, or I guess 10 of them, if you could the Dubon at the utility, you'd probably save a lot of runs.
Okay, but, two things. Don Varsho. One is completely irrelevant to this discussion, but I do want to bring up one thing when it comes to the Gold Gloves. Who were your votes for Platinum Glove? I voted early in the week or whenever.
I didn't vote because I don't believe in democracy.
God, you're such an asshole. You
I actually didn't vote.
Okay, I voted. I voted for Kevin Kiermaier.
Can I still vote?
Is that over? You can. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can. I voted for Kevin Kiermaier for the Platinum Glove in the American League, and in the National League, I voted for Ke'Bryan Hayes from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know how really to defend myself when it comes to these picks. I just like KK, and he at 33 years old to be able to do what he did. He led all center fielders with 18 defensive runs saved, 13 outs above average. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You remember the last time a Jays outfielder won a Gold Glove? Do you remember who it was?
Jays outfielder Gold Glove.
Without looking up.
Was it? Oh God! Don't tell me it was Colby Rasmus.
Nope. Oh. Nope. You got to dig deeper than that.
Dig deeper than that. Oh
well,
man.
Well, deeper in the sense like not as recent.
Not as recent.
So but mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s.
You're gonna get it now. It
had to be V Dub, right?
Yeah, it was V Dub. Yeah, it was Vernon Wells from 2004 to
that long.
Yeah.
That's insane, considering they've had like some reasonably good defenders.
Pilar, yeah, no, Pilar never won it because he always lost to Kevin Kiermaier. Yeah, and then Ke'Bryan Hayes, I just think I'm probably in the like not majority for this, but I think he's gonna be a star.
I like
he's
him
not
too.
Already.
I voted for KK and Tatis, by the way.
Also a good vote. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, this is irrelevant. We're moving on from the awards.
Yeah.
Just slid across my desk. Everybody's favorite coach, Ron Washington, has been hired by the Angels as their new manager.
Wow, good for Wash. Love that guy.
Yep. He managed the Rangers.
I hope he looks forward to losing 99 games next year because they're not going to have Shohei.
So. Yeah, they might not even have Trout. He might.
Yeah, he might request a trade.
But anyway, Ron Washington is going to be in the Hall of Fame eventually if he's not already for his work as I don't know what you would call it, a builder or a coach, manager. I don't know. He's a special person when it comes to baseball. He's probably coached thousands of players at this point. He's been coaching. I think he was born 71 years old. I think he's just started as a coach. You know what I mean? He's been around for so long.
Yeah.
Good for him, though. Anyway, let's talk about our coaching staff because we got some juice. Yesterday there was some chatter.
Lay it on me.
Yeah, we're just gonna blast through some of this. The first off, Ross Atkins had glowing things to say about Don Mattingly, and now he's taking on a new role as the new offensive coordinator. I'm not sure they're playing this the right sport, Ross.
Yeah, are we playing football now?
Yeah, I don't know what it means, but he'll be taking a more direct role in instructing the hitters, a more one-on-one approach. I know that we have had discussions both on mic and off mic about Don Mattingly's influence on this team. I think that this move demonstrates that he previously did not have as much of a direct impact on individual players. And now that he will, I'm very curious to see what the team will look like 50, 60 games into 2024.
Yeah.
As far as comparing the stats, I don't think Don Mattingly is the reason why this team struggled.
I kind of said some things to the contrary, but that was before we had any facts. So that was my turn to be an emotional boy for once.
That's okay. I mean, we still don't know definitively either way, true. But what we do know as well as this decision was that Guillermo Martinez is returning as the hitting coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, but Dave Hudgens has been moved into a different role where he will be an instructor / mentor / advisor / person who coaches primarily in Florida all year round. Seems like a really great state for him to be in. given his
why Patrick because he's old.
Well, yeah, I guess he is old. He can yell at rain clouds all day long if he wants, but I think we got half or maybe two-thirds of what we wanted when it came to changes in the hitting instructor staff. I am surprised Guillermo Martinez is returning. I would have expected harsher response by Atkins because again, this team has a window that's been wide open for 4 years and they have zero playoff wins to show for it. I'm not saying the window's closing because there's still a lot of players who are under team control for a little bit longer, but once we get to like year five of the Kevin or the Gausman deal, the sun's starting to set. So like we got to make some
sun's getting
here,
real
so.
Low, big guy.
Yeah, we're not quite there, but this team has suffered long enough with little tiny missteps when it comes to how it's managed or how it's coached, and keeping Guillermo Martinez is an interesting choice.
It's a classic capitalism move of firing all the lower management and leaving the big boss in place. It's like the CEO might be driving the ship, but we're gonna fire all the middle managers instead. That's why I feel about the hitting coaching department. Like it's Guillermo's department, but he's not facing any of the consequences.
And neither did Mattingly. And really, Hudgens moving into a different role doesn't necessarily mean he's suffering either. All they did was reshuffle it. I don't know if this is gonna work. I
do
trust Don Mattingly.
Think there were too many cooks in the kitchen?
Yes, 100,000%.
Will there be less cooks in the kitchen? Probably not.
Yes. I think in this case...
Well, I mean, if Mattingly didn't have much of a say and now he will, he's just the same number of cooks as Hudgens. And now they still said they're looking to add more people, I heard. So I don't know. Like, I just hope that maybe there was a case of some clashing ideologies, and maybe now going forward they will have one cohesive approach instead of what it was.
The approach is play to your strengths, guys, and don't try to turn a 40 home run hitter into a line drive player. We're probably okay, but like,
yeah, I'm sure we'll get more info and more stuff will come out as the offseason goes along on this too.
Last thing in the coaching thing that we'll talk about, well, two things. We'll talk about Carlos Feebles. He was hired, or Fables? I'm not sure how it was pronounced. No idea. I'm sorry. He was hired as the third base coach coming from Boston. I like this move. I'm good with it.
I don't know anything about him, so I can't comment.
He's been around for a while, and okay. I'm just happy to see. I'm happy to see like a fresh face.
Yeah, I think that was needed at third base. We'll get to see somebody else windmilling now.
And then being subsequently ignored 50% of the time. That's pretty much how it goes.
If the base ring on this team wasn't so shit, the season could have been different too. But anyway, that's another story.
Interesting quote from Ben Nicholson-Smith. Almost all of this information, by the way, coming through Ben Nicholson-Smith's Twitter X account.
His Zitter?
So this is just a tweet that he had. I'm going to read it word for word, then we'll react to it. Reflecting on comments he made after the season, Ross Atkins says he feels full accountability for what happens on and off the field as Blue Jays GM and regrets making comments that suggested otherwise. So that goes back to...
Basically, sorry, John, that I stepped on your fucking... Or they dumped... stood on your grave and danced around on it, but I feel bad.
Yeah. So...
Fuck, dick.
It's good for hit. Yeah, it's good for accountability. Atkins also said he understands any frustration Jays fans have. Yeah, no shit.
No shit, dude.
Because they've been saying it, you know, millions of tweets in the last month. So, fuck.
Jays fans are single-handedly propping up Twitter right now. Like, my God.
Yeah, it's a hot mess right now, but we'll get to the good stuff someday soon. Let's get into the roster and free agent stuff. Justin, yep. Tell me what's going on.
For sure. So, flurry of off-season moves. Once the World Series ends, teams can start doing stuff. The Jays did extend a qualifying offer to Matt Chapman. Those are now worth $20.325 million.
Good God.
It's a one-year deal. For those of you who don't know what a qualifying offer means, if the player accepts it, they get paid that money for 1 year. If they do not accept it, if they decline that offer, the team that made the qualifying offer receives a compensatory draft pick. In Chapman's case, that draft pick would be at the end of the fourth round. Other notable Blue Jays comp picks, Nate Pearson was a comp pick. So there is some gold to be found in them hills at one
point. You consider Nate Pearson gold?
I mean, he's pitched in the big leagues. The amount of guys who get drafted and don't make it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Percentage-wise, technically he is. But anyway, we'll get to that another day. But he has until November 14th at 4 p.m. Eastern to accept or decline that. So basically less than 6 days from now, from this point in time. Ross Atkins does say the Jays, quote, absolutely remain interested, unquote, in a Matt Chapman multi-year deal. That's the right thing to say. There aren't many options on the free agent market for third baseman, and the Jays internally aren't sure if they're ready to turn to guys like Davis Schneider, Addison Barger, or Elvis Martinez to carry the load at third base, having some of them never even played in the big leagues, and most of them having less than 40 games of experience. So that'll be another topic for the offseason. We'll see how that goes. The Blue Jays and Whit Merrifield, Patrick, they declined the mutual option on his deal. No surprise there. That option would have paid Whit like $18 million or something. While he is a great player, he is not an $18 million player. So Whit is now a free agent. The Jays could still look to reunite with him if he is interested. I've seen lots of people speculating that he could end up somewhere in the National League. It wouldn't surprise me. Chad Green is going to be a Blue Jay for two more years, Patrick. He had that funky contract. So the first step, the Jays declined a 3-year, $27 million deal. It would have been $9 million per season. Secondly, Green declined a 1-year, $6.25 million deal. And then the Jays decided to accept and exercise a 2-year, $21 million option. So there'd be a $10.5 million AAV, but only for 2 years on Green. Add some stability. Blue Jays free agents will be Kevin Kiermaier, Jordan Hicks, Hyunjin Ryu, and Brandon Belt, along with Witt and Chappie. Those are kind of the free agent and like immediate roster moves. Adam Simber, Otto Lopez, and Hagen Donner were also added back to the 40-man from the 60-day IL. Doesn't mean they're fully healthy, but you cannot spend the offseason on the 60-day IL. That is only for during the season.
Yeah, there's also the Rule 5 draft is coming up soon, so these guys could be off the list as soon as...
Yeah.
Like, just as quickly as they're taken off of it. They just can't stand the IL any longer.
That's correct, yeah. So Cam Eden was outrighted to Buffalo, so he's no longer on the 40-man. The Jays did make a minor trade. They acquired left-handed pitcher Brendan Little from the Chicago Cubs in exchange for cash considerations. That's a depth move. Don't have too much info on them, and we don't have time to dig into that today. And the last 40-man move that was made was Mitch White re-added to the 40-man roster, Patrick. People are probably like, what the fuck is that all about? Well, for those who weren't paying attention at the end of the year, in his final 36 innings at AAA, Mitch White actually pitched to a 3.0 ERA with 46 strikeouts and pitched his way back into consideration for the 40-man roster. And the Jays, rather than leave him exposed to aforementioned Rule 5 draft, have decided to re-add him and at least give him a shot into spring training. So he could still be DFA over the offseason if the Jays need to make roster space in case of trades and or signings. So no guarantees, but for now, Mitch White is on the 40-man roster. And as far as I'm concerned, would be in competition with Alek Manoah and Bowden Francis for the fifth starting pitching spot in the rotation come spring training. So that's the news on the 40-man.
Just one quick note about Brendan Little. I know we don't have time to deep dive into him, but he had an okay season in AAA for Iowa. 4.05 ERA. In 73.1 innings pitched, he had 73 Ks, 38 walks, gave up 67 hits. Six of which were home runs, 1.432 whip. So he's not really...
Yeah.
He's not going to be on the major league roster, at least not right away. There's just no...
Depth
no space.
For AAA.
He's AAA depth, with which the team struggled tremendously without this year. Adding him to the fold really kind of helps Buffalo, because it doesn't really help your development if all your pitchers are getting the shit kicked out of them every single night. You need some steady hands.
Yeah.
So Brendan Little will be a steady hand, and if he succeeds, then yeah, maybe he will. He's only 26 or 27, something like that. So he's not old, but he's old for a prospect. He's good, solid depth. And as for Mitch White, he'll get his crack at the open spot in the pen that is left open basically by Jordan Hicks exiting. Hicks is going to go get paid somewhere. Good for him. That's all I have to say.
Yep, for sure. Joey Votto, Patrick, was a topic that was brought up. And
here we go.
Ross Atkins was asked about him.
Yeah.
He was full of praise for his hitting ability and character. Obviously, the Blue Jays have explored trading for Votto over the years. They now seem to have some interest as a free agent, and some industry viewers see him as a fit for Toronto. The Jays,
yes, they do.
Don't really need Joey Votto. Would it be cool? Yes. Would it be awesome? Yes. Would it be outstanding? Definitely. But I do feel that Joey Votto will retire. I do feel that he should retire. I think that he has done everything he needs to do in his career to solidify himself as a Hall of Fame candidate and a guy who should get in. I don't feel like he could add a terrible amount to the Blue Jays at this point in time. That's my opinion. I love him. Love him to death, but no thank you.
You know what's funny is that Joey Votto, in a way, was part of the reason why we started this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, some of his comments about Canadian baseball, how he didn't care about it back then, and then all of a sudden he decided he cared again. So,
so what I find really interesting is, it's a great story. You know, the homegrown guy coming home. Unless he is at 150% health.
Yeah.
There's no spot for him, especially if they're pursuing another free agent like Cody Bellinger. You don't need three first basemen on the roster.
Well, Bellinger's mostly outfield now. But, I mean, they still have Spencer Horwitz, right, who I think has earned a right to have a backup spot or at least be in contention for it. And, I mean, the problem with having both Vladdy and Avado on the roster is that that would largely tie up your DH spot too. Because Vladdy's an everyday player and Votto would always play against right-handed pitching, especially being a lefty bat. And that would just, that would completely remove Horwitz from the conversation. He'd probably honestly have to be traded because I think he's ready to play every day somewhere, or at least be a big league regular. Maybe not every day, but he could be an every, like a major contributor for a team out there, like the Pirates or somebody else who's shit, like the Angels. but yeah, at this point in his career, I think Joey is past what he can do. Other guys that the Jays are interested in, Patrick, Ben Nicholson-Smith also reporting that the Jays are interested in Jeimer Candelario. He actually met with Jays reps at the GM meetings, or the Jays met with his reps at the meetings, excuse me. He hit well in Detroit a couple of years ago, but he struggled in 2022 and got non-tendered. But he did have a good year with the Nationals and Cubs with a 117 WRC plus and an OPS of just over 800. So that is an option there. Eugenio Suarez of the Mariners is apparently available for trade. It seems that the Mariners may be looking to reduce the amount of strikeouts in their lineup, and Suarez is a guy who strikes out quite a bit, but he does.
And they non-tendered Teo too.
Yeah, they did, which isn't surprising. He'll be a free agent. Michael A. Taylor, who was most recently with the Twins, is rumored to be a target at free agency for the Jays as a fourth outfielder. He had a 96 WRC plus, but he's a terrific defender.
I was just going to say, go figure, his strength is
defense. Yeah.
His defense, not really hitting, which again
is the problem.
He hit 220 last year.
Yeah. Strikes out a ton.
Yeah.
And then the Jays are also interested in Yamamoto coming over from Japan, who is expected to be like a big, like, long-term deal. MLB Trade Rumors is actually projecting like a 9-year, $225 million contract for him. He's the best pitching prospect, or the best pitcher to come over from Japan, obviously since Shohei, but the best pitcher in a long time. Obviously he only pitches. He's 25 years old too, so he's younger than Shohei. He's been the best pitcher in Japan for like at least 3 or 4 years now, so it seems like he's coming over. It could be a pretty big signing for whoever gets him. He's Jay's kind of a wild card.
The Jays are going to knock on that door, but that's it.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not going to be in on him.
They have a hard time getting those international free agents to come over from Japan. They like to go. They typically go to like a bigger East Coast or West Coast market, like L.A. or the Mets,
York,
like Kode Senga did. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too is that it's usually after those players get the opportunity to see what Toronto is like, and then they're interested. It happened with Ryu. Shohei has expressed interest in Toronto.
As a city, yeah, for sure.
As a city.
And everyone who comes to play here says the same thing, so.
Yeah, so I mean, I get why we're not. I believe one of those players, what was their name? Is it Jose Candelario?
That's Jimer. Yeah, Jimer Candelario, yeah.
Jimer Candelario?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Or Heimer?
I think it's Jimer. I believe it's
Jimer. Jimer. It's Jimer. Jimer. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jimer. He has friends with Vladdy, I think. That was mentioned somewhere anecdotally, which an influencing factor. Honestly, looking at his numbers, man, he had a 3.1 war B war last year.
Yeah, he had a very good bounce back year after a shit 2022.
22 jacks, .251 batting average, third baseman and first baseman. He might be a
interesting guy. Yeah,
like he might be the answer to the Matt Chapman conundrum. Not that he is
in the short term, perhaps. Yeah.
In the short term, again, he's 29 years old, and I believe he's not really going to command a lot of money.
No.
Nickname Candy or Baby Roof. That's kind of fun.
Baby Roof.
But I thought I read somewhere that he was close with Vladdy.
Very possible. Vladdy seems to be friends with everybody, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know even if that's even worth saying.
I'd love to be friends with Vladdy too. But anyway, as for what's coming next for us, we are planning at some point, hopefully this weekend, to do a bunch of recording on our grading episodes, maybe some farm report stuff, a bunch of off-season content that we typically do. We'll be pushing those out over the coming weeks and maybe even towards Christmas. Hard to believe that Christmas is in like 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is now.
Yeah, I got to start doing my shit.
But we'll be lots of content coming. We'll, of course, be back with more of these kind of quick hitters as news happens, whether there's trades, signings, DFAs, whatever it may be. We'll be back with those. To stay up to date with what we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter at BFMB Podcast. I kind of took a hiatus on that account for a few weeks after the season ended, but have been reposting and sharing my thoughts there again. Lately, I'll post a picture of the doggo there too for people to see. And yeah, we'll go from there. But for Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon. It won't be 3 weeks before you hear from us again, but we will see you soon. Bye now.